Day. This week's Towaway has been sponsored by Sid Goldschmidt of Fairlawn, New Jersey, in honour of Adam Lasky, Joey Joseph, and the Start Your Day, the Towaway website. Kof Dala Tammuz, Tuesday the 26th of July, Rabbi Yossi David, Zeichel Lechorban.
Yeah, put an appropriate topic to speak about. On the days approaching to Tisha B'Av, each day we should try and increase something to try and remember Chorban Habayis, to try and remember what we're missing. This little introduction, that there are many, many takanas, many, many institutions which Chazal did in order to remember the Chorban Habayis. And each one has its halachas, exactly how to fulfill it in the correct way. And we soon see that many achronim are very saddened at the fact that people are not keeping it so much today. The Gemara Makos says as follows, yeah? The Gemara Makos brings a story which is very well known, the story of Rabbi Akiva, who went, he was walking past Yerushalayim, past Har HaBayit, next to Har HaBayit, and his colleagues, the other Chachomim who were together with him, began crying. They saw a fox coming out from Har HaBayit, and they began crying. So the Gemara says, כמובן שיגיעו לאר הצופים קראו בגדיהם, כמובן שיגיעו לאר הבית, ראו שועל שיצא מבית קודש הקדוש שלי. התחילו הן בוכים, ורבי עקיבא מצחק. So רבי עקיבא was only sounds like the optimistic rabbi. He began laughing. And we know the story of Kolman David Achman Letava, it took place with רבי עקיבא, with the Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Gamzu Letava. So he turns around and he starts laughing, smiling. So his friends turned around to him and said, Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? You should be crying. So he turns back to them and he says, why are you crying? Why are you crying? So they answered back, a place where it says Azara Karev Yumat, someone who is not a Kohen, who goes into there, or not in its appropriate time, Yumat, V'achshav Shalim Ilchuba, and you see foxes coming out of Harabai, coming out of Bet Makom Kodesh HaKodashim. So he explained to them why he was laughing. He told them there was two Nevuos, one of Zechariah, one of Uriah. And so long as the Nevuah of Uriah, which spoke about Tzion, Sadeh Techaresh, so long as that won't be fulfilled, then we don't know when the Od Yeshuvim, Zekenim, Zekenot will take place. So now that I've seen this, I can see that at least we've passed one stage. But the question is, why is it that Rabbi Akiva turned around to his friends and said, why are you crying? That the friends turned around to him and asked him, why are you laughing? That makes sense. You saw such a tragedy, terrible. You see a shual coming out of Beth Kodesh HaKodashim. You lived through the Churban. You should know better. But how did Rabbi Akiva have the courage to turn around to his friends and tell him, why are you crying? He did not know why they're crying. Of course he knew why they're crying. So why is he asking him? So it's not a Jew answering with a question. It's not exactly that. There must be here a much deeper... So, I saw someone bringing down the book of Limud Shefer, he brings out a nice parable. There was once a king who wanted to get married. And he knew that if he'll marry a princess, she won't exactly appreciate all he does for her. Because she comes from a wealthy home, she comes from a comfortable place, anything she won't appreciate. So he chose to marry a simple woman, a regular woman. And he married her, and Bemet, that woman really kept her thing to what he wanted. She appreciated everything he did. Until she began getting used to the idea. And slowly, slowly, to the extent that she started not only not appreciating, she started being rude to her husband. So, he said he's got no choice but to sentence her, to show her who he is. So he took her in front of a court and he sentenced that she should go to exile until she will regret her deeds, until she starts appreciating. So he did. He sent her, isolated her, away from everyone. And he kept on sending messengers to her to see whether she had any regret. And every time the messengers would go to her and speak to her about what she did, she would always complain, look what a situation I'm in. I'm not comfortable. I haven't got enough money. I haven't got enough things. And she kept on complaining about her own welfare. So long as she complained that, the husband knew she's got no regret to her actions. Until one day the husband decided he was going to try out. He told the messenger, go to her and offer her money. She's doing financially bad. Offer her money for her ring. For a wedding ring. So the messenger goes to the rabbi where she was. And he offers her, "Can we? You're doing badly. You're complaining you've got no money. I'm a diamond merchant. Can I buy you a diamond ring?" So she turns around and says, "This is the only thing I have left to my husband. I'll get rid of that as well? I can't. That's my connection to my husband. I'm not willing to sell it." As soon as he heard that, then she's got regret. Take her back. Says, when Rabbi Akiva turned around to his friends and asked them, "Why are you crying?" He knew why it is. There's a reason to cry. But he was wondering, are you crying for your own tragedy, for your own sorrows, for your own problems? Or are you crying for the Shekhinah, which is in Golus? What are you crying for? When they turned around and said, "Vazara karev yumat, shualim el chuba," when you place such a holy place, a shual, a fox comes out of there, then they answered back, "We're not crying for our own problems. We are crying for the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is such a situation. This is what bothers us." Very difficult for us to cry. I think so many years have passed, we're quite comfortable, Baruch Hashem, with the terrible thing happened to Am Yisrael, but today we're so comfortable. To cry for the Shekhinah being in Golus is very, very hard. But we have to know from Rabbi Akiva, we learn that mipnei ma atem bochim, we have to know that we have to cry not for our own problems. Nachon, did the Balei Musa say, start thinking about your own problems, maybe you'll realize that your problems are because there's no Beis HaMikdash. But the main crime should be for the fact that Shekhinah, you go by the Parashat Ki Tzeitz, it talks about if someone got Chet Mishpat Mavid and he has to be hanged. So it says that you can't leave him overnight. Why? Ki Kilelat Elohim Talui. You've got the Tzura Dmut Yukno of the Shekhinah. Hang up. You can't leave him up. You have to bury him straight away. He says, perhaps this is what we mean when we cry for our own problems, is to be Zoyin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Am Yisrael, or look down by the world so badly. So perhaps that will awaken us. So that's a little introduction to the idea which Chazal did so many takonos in order that we should remember Churban HaBayis. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Kuf Samach brings Mishachor Beis HaMikdash Tiknu Chachom Yishayu Ba'is HaDor Shehem Bonim Le'olam Binyan Mesuyad Mechuyah. The topic which I want to start with is the idea of Zecher HaChulban, which is quite, it's public knowledge that a person, when he builds a home, he has to leave a certain amount of unpainted or unfinished. An amma has to leave in order to remember Zecher HaChulban. So the truth is, there's the Gemara in Baba Basra, that's a source for this halacha. And there's three different Gemaras in the same page, which talks about this din, about siyud and kiyur, about when you furnish your home, and when you paint your home, and you put sid, this limestone, plaster. So the Gemara says as follows, it says in the Gemara, you're not allowed to do siyud, kiyur, and piyuach bezman hazeh. The Meiri says that all these three things seems to be doing up your home in the best possible way. So the Gemara says, you know, don't do it bezman hazeh, since the Churban HaBayis we don't do it. However, if you took a house which was already been done, you don't have to rip it off. Harayzu b'cheskasa. That's one Gemara. The second Gemara says, lo yasud et beto besid. Again, seems to be the same brisa saying the same thing, that a person cannot do up his home completely. However, it says if you mixed in the seed, in this lime, you mixed a bit of sand or a bit of tevin, which is machal behema, if you mixed in it, so therefore it's not so white. The whitening effect is not as strong, so you don't have to leave an amma on an amma, a share Doesn't say you don't have to read it. It's okay. You can be Messiah in your home. The next Gemara goes, talks about Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, after Churban HaBayis, saw people refrain from eating wine, from drinking wine, eating meat. So he went to them. This is not for you, it's too much. And he told them that not to be Messiah in Yerushalayim, we can't. We can't ignore, because it happened. Yeah, the Churban HaBayis took place. But to be Misavel in Yerushalayim too much, we won't be able to continue with our lives. And therefore, Chazal will fix certain things which we must do. So he concludes of Yeshua and says, Elakach amru chachamim, sad adam et beto, you're allowed to do up your house with plaster. Umeshayer bo davar muat. However, if you leave, you have to leave a certain amount, and the Gemara says how much? Amma bayin amma, which is half a meter by half a meter roughly. And Rav Chisda says, Keneged HaPetach. Interesting. There's three different Gemara seems to be. And the Tur brings that a person is entitled to do up his house completely, providing he leaves an Amon and Amma, no matter how he does it up. Can be the best possible way. However, he questions on the Rambam, and it's worth it seeing, giving a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says as follows, Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, תיקנו חכמים שהיו באותו הדור שהם בונים לעולם בניין מסויד ומחויר כבני המלכים. You're not allowed to build a home like the kings build a palace properly, fully painted. You can't do such a thing today. אלא תח בתובתית וסד בסיד ומשייר מקום עמל עמה. So you do it simply and you leave an amma by an amma. The tool asks, if you've left an amma by an amma, what's wrong in doing up your house completely? Do it in the best possible way. Best painting, best drawings. Leave an amma on amma, it'll be okay. So he questions on the Rambam, says, Kameani, I'm surprised at the Rambam that he missed out the Gemara. So Bais Yosef says that if you look carefully at the Gemara, as we said before, the three different Gemaras. The first Gemara says you don't do Bizman Hazeh, Kiyur and Piyuach. The Rambam is talking about an exceptionally nice finish to your home. The way they do in palaces, the way they fully complete it. That beauty you cannot do, and it will not help, says the Rambam, to leave an Amma on an Amma. However, when you do your house simply, with seed, it will help to make an Amma an Amma. And that's why the Rambam splits it into two things. It comes out as a Machlokes Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur. Shulchan Aruch brings the Rambam. So really today, Meikar Adin, a person should make sure he doesn't fully paint his home in the best possible way. Yeah? It won't help to leave an Amma an Amma. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Minhag today is like the Tur, that if you leave an Amma by an Amma, it'll be okay. Interesting, it's interesting to point out that the Mishnah Berurah complains. The Mishnah Berurah writes as follows. He says, "Ubehine bizmanenu lo nahagu leshayer beefshar mishum nesoim chim al hayesh makim ve'al kol panim tamua sharei melavnim abatim besid levad." Questions the Mishnah Berurah, how come today people are not particular in leaving an Amma and Amma? Seems to be in the time of the Chofetz Chaim, people were not so particular to leave an Amma by an Amma. And the Mishnah Berurah complains. The Orach HaShulchan asks the same question, and he says no. The reason is because our seat today is anyway mixed up and full of sand. So you haven't got that whitening effect. However, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that. I must point out to you, and I brought here the Mo'ezek Olchai, Rav Chaim Falaji, writes an interesting thing on this Indian. 150 years ago, he writes in a Sefer Mo'ezek Olchai. He writes that his father, Rabbi Yaakov Falaji, he went round, he says, Haya baduk etzlo. He checked this out. The kol bait deit ba'ama lama, every house which were particular to leave an amma by an amma zechel achurban, neged apetach kedino, Umare Alevenim, and he shows the background, the bricks, he hasn't completed it. He says, Oto habayit nachon hadolam. The house stayed for a long time. V'chol adarim aleh, and also the people who lived in the house. And he says, he used to go around checking in Izmir, from house to house, he used to knock on the, when he used to go and visit people, first thing he would check whether there was a Zecher l'Churban, where the people left in Amma by Amma. So we see from here the stringency of be Meshaya and Amma by Amma. At least, not to be Soymech on the, not to be particular what the Rambam says about doing up your home in the best possible way, but at least to leave an Amma by Amma, even if you do that, to leave an Amma by Amma. Now, the Tosfos writes that what does the Gemara mean that if you had a house which was already, you bought a house which was already was mechuyag, was already finished up, do you have to rip an Amma by an Amma now? Which is quite a relevant question to people who buy ready furnished houses. So the Tosfos writes that you don't have to do it because you can presume it was from before Churban HaBayis. That's what the Gemara means. Areizu b'chezkasa, because you can presume this was built before the Churban HaBayis, and therefore it was built beheter. Strange, yeah? Tosfos is explaining the Gemara. But the strangest problem is that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch bring it down la'alocha. So even today, 900 years on, when the Rambam wrote the Chibur, 900 years after the Churban at least, yeah? He wrote this halacha, there was no houses left there. Nor the Shulchan Aruch, 400, 500 years ago, there was no houses left in Churban HaBayis. So the Mefarshim write, it's talking about when he took from a goy. A goy is also called beheter. Not only like what Tosfos says. If a person buys from a goy a ready furnished house, a fully complete house, he doesn't have to rip it because it's done beheter. The goy doesn't have to do zecher l'churban. So, therefore, you don't have to rip it out. Now, if you redecorate the house, you'll have to leave an amma and amma. The Gemara says that quite clearly, that if the house fell down, or you had to reconstruct the house for whatever reason, you'll have to leave a shir amma and amma. It's only if the original wall was still there, the original house furnished was still there, was still up. Now, there's an interesting debate, which I think it's got to do with the shir. They're building now the new building, the new shul, whether they have to leave an amma and amma in a shul or not. Interesting, the Magen Avraham writes that in a Beis HaKnesses you don't have to. And he doesn't write no source to it. And the Be'er Halacha quotes him, and he writes that in a Beis HaKnesses, in a Beis HaMidrash, you don't have to make Zecher l'Churban an amma and amma. And the question is why? Mikdash Me'at, correct? Mikdash Me'at. Seems to be, even on the contrary, it says in the Pasuk level, Memet Bet Elokeinu. On the contrary, we have to even glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mikdash. On anything which we miss out won't be looked upon well. We have to make it the most beautiful house. So that in our homes we live in Amma and Amma, sure we don't have to. That seems to be the small word, but the Rambam doesn't explain exactly that. It's very interesting that, and this is what the Chazon Ish once relates, what happens if Achronim, like the Magen Avraham, or the Gaon, say Halacha, and all of a sudden you find the Ktav Yad of a Risham, of one of the Gaonim, who says exactly the opposite. So you should know that Maram ben Baruch, it was Maram in Rotenburg, he writes in his Tshuvas, and really the Marsham brings it. Marsham is Sholom HaKohen, Rav Shlomo Agron's grandfather, from Galicia. He writes in his Pirush on the Shulchan Aruch, which they were Melakit, he writes that he found in the Maram ben Baruch, Maram in Rotenburg, in his Mafteichas, the Rishonim used to write already Alochas in the Mafteichas. So he writes in the Simon Shin Aleph there, he writes that when they build a new shul, they should leave an Amma and Amma Zecher l'Churban. That seems to be quite simple. Then I found someone quoting Maram ben Baruch in a different print, in Berlin, it's even clearer. He writes, of course in the shul you should have an amma and amma, he writes. If everybody, so many people that see them walk in, so many people, you mezaki them with zechel ha-churban, that they should see and remember the churban ha-bayis, so the shul seems to need more of the zechel ha-churban than what our own private homes, which is only for us. Here so many people walk in, that each person should see the churban ha-bayis. So what do you do when you have a rishon like Maram ben Baruch, Maram ben Rotenburg, the Rebbe of the Rosh, the Rebbe of the Mordechi, saying one halacha, and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah simply taking on that you don't need to do a shir of amma and amma when you build a shul. So I'm not interfering about what you want to do lemaisa, but I'm just bringing out in front of you the machloikis. And the difference would be what would happen in a hall of a shul. Not the actual shul, the hall. Normal shul is like building a hall to have an income. So they have a hall. Do you have to put in the hall a zecher l'churban or not? So I thought maybe if the reason, I mean, if we're going according to the Magen Avraham's reading this, Valeroyman, to beautify the shul, that doesn't apply to a hall. Yeah? So you should have to put an amon amon. However, it could be the what? You don't need a mezuzah in a shul. Huh? In a hall? Do you need a mezuzah? You need a mezuzah. If you've got furniture inside, you need a mezuzah. Now the truth is, I heard this, a big chiddush, I heard it, but once upon a time, the reason why Batei Knesiyot or Batei Midrashot don't need a mezuzah, yeah? It's not a simple reason. If people use it to keep the objects inside it, to keep tashmishim inside it, and to keep things, so there's a few places in the hall you need to put the mezuzah with the bracha in the Beis Midrash. So, the hall hasn't got the kedusha of a mikdash me'at, you keep furniture, table, chairs, and all that. So therefore, once upon a time, the shuls were absolutely empty. There was not even a siddur in the shul. It was just, they used to sit on stones, and the shliach tzibur would read be'al peh, and that was the basic lesson in the time of the Talmud. It was not Torah she'bal peh. Siddur wasn't, you were not allowed to print a siddur. So the shliach tzibur would read be'al peh. So therefore, it seems to be that's why you don't need a mezuzah. But nowadays, we keep our talesim, our objects inside, sforim, we keep furniture. So therefore, even a Beis HaMikdash should need a mezuzah. But maybe, perhaps, if the Magen Avraham could be that the reason why he doesn't need a shir amai lama is because it's only, it's Aleh Yerushalayim al Rosh Simchati. The tool brings that the reason why Chazal were kovea a special way to remember the Churban HaBayis is whenever we build a house, there's a certain simcha. We have a chasna, we have a chuppah, someone's getting married, there's a simcha. So Chazal will kovea in such times to remember the Churban HaBayis. Yeah? So therefore, that could be my own private simcha, my own private home. When it's a home of a tzibur, so there's no takona to make zechel achulban. That could be a reason of the Magen Avraham. Not as we said before. If that's the case, could be also even a hole which belongs to the tzibur, shouldn't need an amma because it's like baisha shutfim. There's an interesting question in the poskim whether if a new shul, yes, do you say shechion on a new shul? On a new home, many poskim will say you do. Apart from the Lev Chaim in Shuvah, the Lev Chaim Falaji Marcus Shuvah, it says anything you buy with a mortgage, or anything you buy in credit, you don't say Shechiana because your simcha is not complete. You're still paying payments, yeah? So if you have a mortgage, you don't say that. But if you don't, Lechor, you should say like Kelim Chadosh, you should say Shechiana in your new home. But it says, Baishan Shutfim, partners who bought a home, many poskim, the Chidor inclusive, hold, you don't say Shechiana on it. Why? Because the simcha is not, it's not my own private, it's together. So perhaps that's the same idea as not leaving Zechal Chuban. I don't know, this is a suggestion. Now, the Eliyahu wants to say, the Eliyahu writes, Tikno she'em boinim lo'olem binyan mesuyad, tach beito betit. He says, beito means, a bais, says the Eliyahu brings the raya from the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chavches, that a bais is defined in the Gemara as a room. So Eliyahu wants to come up with a chiddush, that every room in one's house should need a zeichel achulban. Because the bais is the cheder. And then the rabbi can't, the maestro leaves it like that, that every room. However, the Yavetz, in his tshuvas, writes not like that. The Yavetz writes that Beisa, in this, maybe then, Gemara Brachos, when he talks about talking talking next to a mess, it's called, one room is called bais. But as far as we are concerned here, Beisa is his own house. He should enter his home, he should see the zechel achulban, not in every room. That's what the Yavetz holds. Now, obviously, it has to be connected to Petach. It should be across the Petach. Although the Prima Gadim has a doubt, what does connected mean? Connected can stand means next to. So, most poskim, the Mishabura holds, it should be opposite when a person walks in. Now, the Prima Gadim says something interesting, that when you make an amma by an amma, you should make sure it's a square one. Not the area of an amma by an amma, and it should be a square amma by amma. So, if you turn it to a totally different shape, like make it really long, then the Prima Gadim says it's not good. You have to make sure you make it into an amma by a square size. Yeah. Another thing which Chazal wa Misakin, and people come up and ask this question many, many times, what's the issue of listening to music nowadays? We don't find the Shulchan Aruch clearly writing that you can't listen to music in Bein HaMitzrayim. It writes, Magen Avraham brings, you should avoid rekudim u'mcholot. Seems to be people used to go for dancing. Yeah, rekudim u'mcholot. Obviously, a mehadrin is a mehadrin, yeah? He says you should refrain from doing that, and that includes even having weddings, yeah? According to Magen Avraham. But listening to music, we don't find anywhere where in the Bein HaMitzrayim we're restricted. Now the truth is, maybe in Bein HaMitzrayim we don't find. But just like they made this takana for Shir Amal Amma, we have to know that there's an issue of listening to music all around the year. The Gemara in Sotah says, Mishabach la Sanhedrin, once Sanhedrin went to Golus, and it was before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they went to Golus, they were killing too many people, one every 70 years. Yeah, it was a steady bed in Katlani. It's no good. So they went to Golus. It says, Mishabach la Sanhedrin, they stopped the singing. Now, they then stop the singing, whether the singing is referring with instruments or without instruments. So from the Gemara seems to be, Rashi holds that way anyway, that with instruments and without instruments, you're not allowed to sing and listen to music on wine. Bebate mishtaot, based on Mishnah. Rashi holds it's only whilst you're drinking wine that you can't listen to music. However, Tosfos holds, it's got nothing to do, no. Shira Bepe, even not. He brings a Yerushalmi, where it's much better if you enjoy the music, and if you're used to music, you should refrain from listening to music generally, even not on wine. The Rambam comes to a type of a compromise. The Rambam holds that Klei Zemer, using musical instruments, that's also always. However, all around the year, however, Shira Bepe, just singing Bepe, he says it's only alayayim. Only if you're sitting and drinking wine. That was the takana. Only if you're drinking and sitting wine. Sitting and drinking wine. However, concludes the Rambam says, V'kvar nahagu, kol Yisrael lomar divrei shirot v'tishvachot or shir shel hodaot le'elu v'kayotze bahem. They were knowing that singing meant not shirim and tishvachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other singing. Yeah, I don't want to express what it exactly says, what type of singing, but singing which we wouldn't listen to today. But shiras v'tishvachot, when you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just singing. Yeah? So the Rambam says the minhag was to be makel. It seems to be from the Rambam only with no instruments. However, with instruments not. Now, it says in the Gemara, you can't be making gzeiras she'en hatzibur yachol la'amod bahem. You're not going to start making gzeiras on the people if they will not be able to stand by it. So at least, in the time where Chazal were koivea, to have a velus with Ben HaMetzorim, with its Sfira Sa'ima, yeah, during the tier of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Kiva, in those times where Chazal were koivea velus, we should at least keep the Ikar Adin of not listening to music. Now, very interesting, some people want to differentiate between live music, yeah, concerts, which I don't think anyone is matter a concert to go to join a concert, yeah. Maybe for people who are weaker, yeah, in order to show them you've also got music. You don't have to go to the goyim. But people who are holding should not go to a concert, Erev Shira at night, evening, to go and sit down and listen to music. It's not a However, some people want to say tape recorder is different. Because tape recorder is not live music. Now the Rambam was a Novi. The Rambam wrote, yeah, Chacham Adif Minavi actually it says, V'chen gazru shelo lenagen b'klei shir. That's one gzera. They made a gzera not to use musical instruments. V'chol minei zemer, v'chol mashmiye kol shel shir. And for years and years, they were wondering why the Rambam is giving this triple lashon. Not to use klei zemer, no minei zemer, v'chol mashmiye kol. Mashmiye kol, you included it in klei zemer. What's mashmiye kol? And the Rambam predicted that there'll be such a thing as tape recorders, iPod, this, today, it's mamish like live music, yeah? And let's also mashmiya kol. It's mashmiya kol shel shira, kol shel zimra. And therefore it become an issue. So the Rambam already outruled it in the in his Yad HaChazaka. Interesting, the The Poskim wants to, I couldn't tell you this anyway, the Poskim and the Mishnah Berurah brings about singing psukim in the tefillah, to refrain from singing psukim in the tefillah and singing things which like songs made from Kaddish and all that. And interesting, I saw the Ben Yishchai writes in his Perush and Ben Yehada, an interesting halacha, he writes that there was a minhag to sing Kaddish. And remember, his father didn't sing the Kaddish on Friday night, yeah? Or they sing on Shabbos to sing the Kaddish. So the Ben Yehada writes in his Perush and the Gemara that the reason why he brings the right from the Gemara, they used to also sing it, says the reason is to quieten the Mekatzigim. Yeah, they see us coming into shul, and they see us singing. Oh, they probably didn't come to daven; they came to sing songs. So therefore, I'll keep away from them. Let them go. Like similar to what the Ramban says on the Seir LaAzazel. Yeah, this looks like an action of Avodah Zarah to keep the satan quiet and not to be mekatzig. It's a similar idea. However, Rav Chaim Falaji concludes a very interesting thing in regards of the singing, which is quite sharp. His words. He writes as follows. He writes on people who bring music for any occasion, bring instruments and music for any occasion, it's not even a mitzvah. He writes, "Vezeu ikuv haMashiach veSibat haShmadot." He says, this rejoicing, this listening to music, when you're not supposed to, is going against what Chazal says, and that's what's stopping Mashiach from coming. When we have room to rejoice, we have room to do excessive rejoicement, and we're not concerned about the Churban HaBayis, that's Ikuv HaMashiach veSibat HaShmadot, Rachmana Litzlan. So it's quite sharp, he uses this expression about keeping. So therefore, this seems to be the source to not listening to music in this period of time, and all around the year we can't refrain from listening to music, because it's Gzeirah She'en HaTziv Yecholim La'amod Ba, and also we can use a kula. That since we're doing Shiras v'Tishbochos, and we also mentioned Psukim mentioning Shvach Tokodesh Baruch Hu, yeah? And I must point out that Psukim, the Mishnah Berurah, is against singing Psukim, as we mentioned before. And Bemis, if you look at the ancient Sfaradi Piyutim, which comes along in your Shabbos tables as well, none of them were Psukim. They were all a Divrei Shevach about the Eretz Yisrael, Divrei Shevach about the Gol, Divrei Shevach Tokodesh Baruch Hu. Never they bought Psukim as a song in the Zmiris. Those who compile their own words, because you can't turn Psukim into a type of a song. And Mishnah Berurah writes quite sharply against those who do it. So therefore, that also should be a point to observe about the new singers today who are lacking, they can't compile words, they can't make up words, they can't, all they can do is take a tune from somewhere else and stick it onto a pasuk. Which is a big problem according to Mishnah Berurah. I don't know what they're saying. Huh?
Singing
Halle. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is against. The Mishnah Berurah writes, he writes, Kotza belikute maril, sheloi kedin hu shemesheririm bemishte oid hachaki anitani. In shul you can do it, yeah? He writes in shul you could. Yeah, once you're saying Halle, sing it. But otherwise, you don't take Psukim of Halil and sing it not in the middle of Dublin.